The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And now, it's time for Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Must be Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. I am Scott's super intern, Ken Connolly, as he likes to call me. I know you're probably thinking, where is Scott? Have no fear. Scott is here today, of course, but he is letting me host the show today. Radio is my true passion, and what better way to gain experience in this field than hosting a show? So really appreciate Scott for that. And Scott and I are here for you every week to give you advice on how to get a job, talk about your career, talk about getting a raise, going on job interviews, among many other things. We also cover every workplace issue from harassment in the workplace to how to conduct interviews to becoming a better salesman. Now, before we get into today's topic of the show, I just wanted to say to Scott that I really appreciate how much he's taught me and the opportunity that he's given me in the pandemic. Out of all times to have an internship, this is probably the best time because there's not much going on in the job market, and I really appreciate everything Scott's done. He's taught me a lot of good things, so thank you, Scott. And to get right into today's topic of discussion, which is very relevant to myself, is how the pandemic has affected college students, graduating college students, in their job search. I recently graduated from the State University of New York College at Cortland myself this past May, and aside from this wonderful internship, I am still looking for a job in my field. And just to bring some light to everyone out there about how bad the job market is for these graduating college students, according to a CNBC article from July, in an April 2020 survey conducted by Student Loan Hero, 72% of graduating seniors reported that the COVID-19 crisis had already impacted their post-graduation plans. While the unemployment rate has improved since then, 18.6% of people between the ages of 16 and 24 are still unemployed. This is according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. A couple more here. In a survey of 132 organizations, employment research platform Talent Board found that 74% of companies were reducing hiring in some capacity, 32% of which were freezing hiring completely. And lastly, more than a third of students have taken on debt, with 17% taking on credit card debt and 16% borrowing additional student loans, according to a survey by Student Loan Hero. And today, to help us tackle this dilemma, we have two special guests, two of Radio Jobline's paparazzi, and that is Neil Halloran, the Director of Internships at Adelphi University, and Dolores Ciasio, the Director of Career Development at Farmingdale State College. Dolores will be joining us for the second half of the show, but right now, we welcome in Neil to Radio Jobline.
Well, welcome. Thank you very much. And Kenny, congratulations, being called a super intern. I love it.
Thank you very much, Neil.
And we also look for jobs, so maybe you can give me a ring later.
Oh, of course. That would be great. So if you will, tell us a bit about yourself, Neil, and what you do at Adelphi University.
Well, I've been at Adelphi for the last about 12 years. I used to teach the MBA program there. And they found out by coincidence that I used to run the internship program for the IBM Corporation, where I was there 25 years, and 1-800-Flowers.
Oh, wow.
And in 2014, our dean got with me and said, you know, we really like to see an aggressive, positive program that deals with internships. I said, well, what do you have now? I said, not really much. So what I did, working with my IT friends, I said, let's develop a website. Let's go out to various corporations on Long Island. We are very fortunate, Kenny, in the fact that we're in Garden City, which is 15, 20, 30 minutes to New York City, the financial capital of the world. We're located so we can service companies and corporations. We call them partners in New York City, not just Manhattan, but all the boroughs, Nassau County, and also Suffolk. So we put together a website. Since I used to be the branch manager in IBM, I knew most of the contacts on Long Island. Mm-hmm. We aggressively, this is important, we aggressively went out to these corporations saying, Adelphi has an extraordinary reputation, it's the oldest university on Long Island, tremendous alumni, tremendous business school, which I'm in charge of. because my directorship deals with the business students, undergraduate and graduate at Delphi. Mm. So we built up a relationship. We now have 260 companies that we service.
Wow.
And that's a tremendous advantage. So we went from 20 companies to about 400 to 500 per academic year.
Wow.
And when I say aggressive, I mean we go out. We developed with my IT friends and my graduate assistants, which were my staff, a master listing on Excel, an advanced Excel, of all our undergraduate students and our graduate students, with all significant skills that they have, their GPA and their major. So we decided, let's, instead of sending out emails, let's visit the companies or contact them and tell them, what do you need? And this is the important part, and I think very which sits well for our program. We have the companies and partners, either our visits or they come to our university. It's a beautiful university, by the way. And we say, what are your needs? And so there's a direct human contact between the executive of that business partnership, that business, to me and my staff.
Wow.
So let's say, for example, I'll talk about the pandemic in a minute. Let's say they need, Merrill Lynch, for example, needs three analysts. It must be juniors, et cetera, but certain criteria. I have, with our master listing, a database where I'll go in and search for those students that qualify the needs or the criteria. I then will bring the student in and basically say, this is what's available at this company, Merrill Lynch, as an example. Then I will basically screen them. Are they motivated? Do they know the culture? Is the resume decent? And resumes can be very good or not very good. Then I send them out to my contact. They interview them. And we're getting an 85% hit rate because we're reviewing the student before he or she goes for the interview. And the result is we put in a little over 1,700 students. We also insist that the companies pay them. This is big. The payment for a lot of these hourly these students is hourly, ranging from $15, $20, $30, $40 an hour, depending on the skill. So that's what we do. Now, with the pandemic, if we're going to talk about that, we had to do a couple of things differently. But it is a program which I'm blessed with a great staff that we're supported by the professors because we're unique. We're the business school. We're the Robert B. Williamstad School of Business. The primary purpose of a business school, it's a professional school, not a college. It's like a nursing school. They're professionals. The professors that teach are business professionals before they became a professor. And we give them the opportunity to get academic acumen, knowledge, and the opportunity for an interview for an internship. And now the job market, before and after and during the pandemic, what's interesting is business students want one thing. A job. So I'll give you some stats. 82% of our students that just graduated this year had at least one internship.
Fantastic.
Now, think about that for a job application. You're a recruiter, and you look at a resume, and the person's got a nice GPA, and they were on a society, no internships. Look at another person, may have a very strong, has a strong GPA, got some societies, one or two internships.
Those are big.
Who do you think is going to get the job? So we've complemented the education acumen, the education knowledge in business with hands-on experience in a company that gives them not only getting paid, more importantly, they're getting their awareness of what the business is really like. You can't beat that combination. We just did analysis with some of our accounting students, and it's a very high percentage. I mean, you just have to look at the benefit. And the categories of internships are really three. There's one in the summer, fall, and spring. So we have companies that have a formal program, usually 6 or 7 weeks during the summer, 40 hours a week for 6, 7 weeks. Getting paid is nice, but also getting trained by with their systems and their ways of dealing business. And then we're getting in the spring and fall. It's amazing, even in the pandemic.
Wow.
That we're getting calls. I had two yesterday from two companies never heard of before. We need an internship right now. We need help. And we're very lucky to have the support of our staff, the support of our faculty, the support of our dean. And we also have a support of other groups in our university that help them get this opportunity to work in a job.
So it sounds like the students that are going there, especially in the business school at Adelphi, are in good hands, especially with you. Now,
not me. I got a great staff. I got a couple of graduate assistants.
Well, of course.
And I've got a dean that's very supportive, and we have a new dean, Marianne Hyland, I'll publicize her, who's got what they call the winning edge. Now, through Marianne Hyland's direction, we're starting in the freshman grade. Do you have a resume? What's a resume? Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to have a good laugh. I'll tell you some good stories about resumes, right? okay, we start. What are the companies wanting? This is very important, Kenny. Mm-hmm. The one thing I did, because I come from a professional background, believe me, I'm not an academic. I know, as a business professional in my IBM training in One Year of Flowers, I also work in Federated, I want somebody who has specific skills. So I say to the students very nicely, bluntly, say, this is what companies want. Mm-hmm. And we did a survey of 65 companies, not just the Fortune 500 companies, but mid-cap and regular companies, small companies, et cetera. Number one is communication skills. Mm-hmm. Can you communicate? Now, that's been taken out of context because it's not just talking. It's listening. PowerPoint presentations. Mm. One of the most important technical skills that students will say, oh, I know PowerPoint. No, you don't. So we have a way of training them. Number one, tied with number one, is technical training. And this is a real challenge. This is the challenge. Mm. Students go into an interview and they'll say, I'm proficient in Excel, as an example. No more. Companies now, and the trend is increasing, minimum, not proficient in Excel, intermediate Excels, advanced Excel with preferred Python, VBA, SQL. Not just accounting majors, not just finance majors, everybody. So Adelphi has put together a program where we give them online training called LinkedIn Learning in Excel, and another skill is project management. With that, we also got approval to be the site, S-I-T-E, for Excel Mastery, Excel Specialist by Microsoft. So on a resume, it's not just you're proficient or intermediate Excel. I am certified by Microsoft in Excel Specialist. So we were looking at, this is what we the companies need. Very important, because when I went to school as a freshman, I don't know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Now we start in the freshman year. This is what a resume should look like.
I wish I had this guidance.
Well, it's wonderful to have guidance, but the thing is, you're also dealing with a young generation. Mm-hmm. My wife is a teacher's aide for 30 years in a school district up in Northport. And the kids nowadays are very technically oriented. Mm-hmm. I have 7 grandkids. The two old ones, 15 years old, in different parts of the country. They're doing intermediate Excel.
Wow.
Think about that for a minute. So it's important to understand, when we're dealing with troubled times, a pandemic, we had a pivot. Mm-hmm. We had a pivot. So what do you do? Everyone is home. The school is doing, most schools are doing online. Mm-hmm. So how do we pivot? Well, there's a couple of things we did. We have courses, and I do a broadcast, or virtual broadcast, on the importance of networking. See, there is one distinct advantage when everyone is home. The recruiters are home. The recruiters are human beings like us. They want to talk to people. Mm-hmm. So what the recruiters are doing, and I'm talking about the overall majority of company recruiters, they're looking at your LinkedIn. So we've given a course for every student, the importance of LinkedIn. So if you're a recruiter for a corporation, you don't have any more socials. You don't go visiting the colleges or universities, right? Mm-hmm. What do you do, Kenny? Well, I'm going to look at the LinkedIn of companies, of students, rather. I'm going to see where their accomplishments are. Who are they talking to? Not Facebook. What is their background? And one distinct advantage with our online system called LinkedIn Learning, parent companies LinkedIn. if you complete a course, Excel Specialist, Advanced Excel, Pivot Tables, etc., you click on a little on your computer, it goes into LinkedIn. And you got to put your shoes, which I tell all students, put you yourself in the shoes of a recruiter. You looked at LinkedIn. Do you have a photograph? Yes or no? Hope it's a good one. What is your mission? What courses have you taken? Mm-hmm. What certifications have you have? What courses did you do? Who refers you? So the old resume days are gone. The companies are looking, based on my listening to some of the recruiters, they look at LinkedIn before a resume. Look what LinkedIn has. Referrals, recommendations, accomplishments. And a good recruiter is going to see, who is this student talking to? What level in various corporations? I'm not even going to Facebook. You don't want to see that. You look at a business tool like LinkedIn, we've emphasized that.
That was going to be my...
emphasize how you can increase your personal brand. And boy, that's big. Everyone has a brand. Everyone sells. How do you articulate your sales skills in a resume?
So, Neil, before you go into that, I don't want you to run out of time here. I wanted to know what the importance, since you're talking about LinkedIn, what's the importance of networking in this COVID environment?
Well, the importance of networking is absolutely crucial, but you got to throw out the old book on networking. You have to emphasize that what the networking purpose is not to get a job. That may shock a lot of people. I've done a lot of research on this. The purpose of networking is to build relationships with people in the business environment. I'm only talking to business now. Mm-hmm. So when you build a relationship, you got to have, first of all, a LinkedIn, and we give you a strategy. Who do you send it to, your LinkedIn context? Well, I'm going to say, I'll give you an example. I'm a finance major. I'm going to send the finance people. No, you send the finance people, marketing people, economics, people in different disciplines, because you'll be amazed. Companies are not just no longer finance, they're financial marketing. You would talk digital marketing can also refrain to different occupations. So when you talk about the power of networking, it's building relationships. Mm-hmm. We show them, every student basically that comes to us, this is your strategy to build a relationship. This is how you do it. For example, if you want to work in real estate, you'll simply use Google and in the New York metropolitan area. You get all the companies, a list of companies. Then you go into their website and look at what's going on. They need people in your skills that you would have. And then you build a relationship between that, between you and the company. Let me summarize. Just think, and it happened a couple of times with a couple of our students. I am building relationships. This student was building relationships over 6 months through our training with one financial company. And all of a sudden, there was an opportunity last month for a job in that company. The person was very strong, a go-getter. She understood, the junior, understood the basics of what the job was. And she called, I'm going for a job interview for this in your company. Can you back me up? Guess what happened? She got the job.
Wow.
She got the job.
Before you get that job, let's say you have the interview. In these times, it's going to be virtual. We have just under 2 minutes.
Oh.
But I wanted to know how big is preparing for an interview?
I cannot tell you the importance, and thank God I mentioned the word pivot. Well, the old interview was, okay, this is an interview. Make sure you go through. We give you 2 pages of practice questions. That's out the window. What you must do, and we have a fact sheet on it, it's a checklist. Number one, interview takes time. There's a model we use, the Steve Jobs model. Steve Jobs was a master communicator, and he would prepare for a presentation like hours. And when you watch the Steve Jobs presentation, he was prepared. So we have a checklist which we give every student before they go in an interview. What do you know about the company? What questions are you going to ask? How does your job, what the job description that you're given to be interviewed, what are the strengths and weaknesses of that job that you have? What do you answer? How do you summarize? Mm-hmm. How do you sell yourself? What are the do's and don'ts of interviewing? Now, in the virtual climate, we're no longer seeing face-to-face, so we're training them in virtual.
Unfortunately, Neil, I have to cut in here. You're giving us some great content, but we are coming up to a news break. You're listening to Radio Jobline. This is Neil Halloran, the Director of Internships at Adelphi University. Stay tuned for the next segment with Dolores Ciascio, the Director of Career Development. If you have an idea for Radio Jobline, you can write to Scott at scottp@execsallied.com. Or you can write to me, kenny.radiojobline@gmail.com. Stay tuned for the next segment.
And now, welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on LI News Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Radio Jobline. Today, I am hosting Ken Connolly. I am also known as Scott's super intern. I love that he has that nickname for me. I really appreciate that. Me and Scott have a great bond on this show. We often text about the Yankee games back when they were actually on. And it's just been a pleasure to work with Scott. So we are here today to tackle the dilemma of graduating college students and college students in their job search through these rough pandemic times. We had Neil Halloran, the Director of Internships at Adelphi, in the first half. And joining us for the second half right now is Dolores Ciascio, the Director of Career Development at Farmingdale State College. Welcome, Dolores.
Thank you.
So just tell us a little bit about what you do at Farmingdale and your job.
Okay. So I serve as the Director of Career Development at Farmingdale, and we are under the umbrella of a group called the Nexus Center for Applied Learning and Career Development. The applied learning piece has to do with internships. Mm-hmm. The other piece, which I'm the director of, is career development. So it's all aspects of providing career information to students and alumni. We help students with resumes, cover letters, mm-hmm. statements of purpose if they're going on to graduate school, anything to help them advance their careers. We also normally do in-person job fair twice a year. Mm-hmm. We do a technology job fair, and we also do a graduate school fair, which we just had. And we had about 50 colleges attending the virtual graduate school fair, and quite a lot of students planning to go to grad school. Mm. So in addition to that, of course, we do regular workshops, public speaking engagements for different groups on campus, and, in general, just basically work with students who are advancing in their careers.
So how much has the pandemic impacted all of these things at Farmingdale?
Tremendous, tremendous. We've been closed since March 13th.
Wow.
And our president just sent an announcement out about a week ago that we probably will maybe return next summer. Mm. That's the staff. There are some faculty on campus. There are hybrid courses where some students do go in. And the rest of the time is done at home. Of course, there are certain types of classes that can't be done from home, like mm-hmm. labs, nursing labs, technology labs, and things like that. So the students need to go in for those.
Mm. And I'm sure most of these things that, you can't do in person, this is all on Zoom, correct?
Well, it's an interesting thing. Yes, Zoom, Blackboard, what is the other one? Google Meet.
Mm-hmm.
We are not using Zoom right now. There's a problem with the contract with them. So some SUNY campuses are using Zoom, but others are not. So we are not using Zoom for official Farmingdale work,
mm-hmm.
but we can use it for other types of meetings, like our staff meetings in our department. We use Zoom. Yes.
Okay, great. And the next thing I wanted to get into, we got into it with Neil in the first half. How big is networking during these times when there aren't many jobs out there?
It's huge. We always stress networking for our students and alums, job seekers, because that's the way people find jobs, is through networking. Mm-hmm. So we have a number of different ways that students can network in a normal environment, and we stress more of the technology with networking now. Like, for example, as I said, we had our graduate school fair where students could network with schools if they want to go on to grad school. We are planning a virtual job fair on November 20th. We have about 50 companies signed up now, but it's not the most natural way to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Students need to network in other ways. And we have, for example, we've had for quite a long time, a portal called Career Connect.
Mm.
And companies and organizations can post their openings on Career Connect. It's free. And students set up an account and alumni set up an account. And they can look at whatever jobs are there and they apply directly.
And what is expected of a new employee using that?
Well, they're expected, of course, to meet the job requirements.
Of course.
The portal is very easy to use. They just have to open an account, and they can look at any of the jobs. We have about 2,000 jobs posted on there.
Oh, wow.
So they can look at a job, and if they feel that they qualify and they're interested, they just send a resume or post a resume to the person that's listed on the site, and then they'll get notified for an interview. Now, interviews nowadays are taking place virtually, so the student needs to be prepared mm-hmm. to be able to have a virtual interview.
Before we get into interviews, I just wanted to touch base on how important LinkedIn is for networking. Excuse me, because me and Scott and I know, met on LinkedIn, and he actually posted the position for this internship two summers ago on LinkedIn, and that's how we first connected.
That's right. Yeah. LinkedIn is critical. And because the job seeker connect, I was just talking to a student online yesterday, and he's looking for a position in the financial services area. So I told him to go on LinkedIn, find out who the people are on there who work in financial services field and maybe people who graduated from your program, and connect with them to find out not only if they're at jobs, but what the environment is like, what would be required of them if they're going to be a virtual employee. Mm. Will they need to go in at any time? Because a lot of companies have people coming in on a regular basis to work. So what is that like? Where are the jobs and what are people doing in their jobs? And that all can be found out on LinkedIn.
Mm. And I also wanted to add a little tidbit, a little trick that Scott has given me, share the resource to all the listeners out there, because this really is a critical thing that you need to do when applying for jobs. After you apply for that job, your journey is not over yet. You still have to go on LinkedIn. This is what Scott told me. You go on LinkedIn and you go to the company that you're applying to, connect with a bunch of employees that work there, mm-hmm. reach out to them if they connect back with you.
Right.
And, you know, talk to them and tell them what you're trying to do, what you're trying to get into. And if they give you,
absolutely.
If they give you the pleasure of, you know, responding, having a good conversation,
right.
towards the end of it, you could say to them, you know, if it's not too big of a deal, would you be able to walk my resume into the hiring manager? And then bang, uh-huh. if they do it for you, you have a straight edge over all the other applicants.
Absolutely. Yes, 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 yes. That's a very good tip.
Now, after you get that set up interview, now we can get into what is Big Interview that Farmingdale uses?
Oh, Big Interview. We use Big Interview. Right. So what it is, there are virtual interview coaches on there.
Okay.
And people can speak to someone who's familiar with their field. And the coach will train them on how to conduct themselves in a virtual interview. that they should dress well in the interview. They should know as much as possible about the company. That is crucial. And you know, it's even more important now in a virtual environment. You know, when you're sitting face-to-face with someone and you've been trained on how to interview, you get a lot of feedback from the interviewer. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not so familiar with the company, you get a good sense of it because you're there, you can see what's going on and everything. But here, they need to do their research about the company.
Now, is this free to use for students?
Oh, yes. Students can use it. Alumni can use it. It's a free service.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes,
and speaking of alumni, I see that you have on here, you know, how big is attending virtual job fairs and networking events? Do the alumni attend those as well, or is it all virtual?
Yes. Absolutely. Alumni, students, yes. And it doesn't matter how long ago they graduated.
Okay. Now, before you get to that interview and you're looking for the jobs, because as we all know, they're very few and far between to get right now. How big or how important is having a clear resume and a cover letter?
Very important. Okay, I've been doing, you know, my staff and I have been doing resumes online, you know, for students, and we do have phone discussions with them and online discussions with them.
Mm-hmm.
The resume is so important, and it needs to be done in the way that employers recommend. Now, I just pulled off of our Career Connect platform about 10 resumes that students had posted, and I'm going to be working on them.
Mm.
They are so out to lunch. I mean, they're so bad, most of them. I had one that was perfect, and I approved it. But they're so bad, they all need to be edited, because employers expect the resume to look in a way that they can find information. So there is kind of a format, which we play fast and loose with, but it has to have certain information, and it has to be easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
So the resume is very, very important. The cover letter, of course, is a lead-in to the resume, so where they can tell a little bit more detail about certain aspects of their education and about their interest and passion. But it is very important to accompany the resume.
And of course, you know, any spelling errors on that, you're instantly terminated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. So it's a no-brainer. It's just, you know, a resume that you would expect, you know, a person mm-hmm. would put together to apply for a job. But of course, a lot of students don't know that. So they come up with these very creative, you know, looking resumes, and it's not going to get read.
Mm-hmm. And a little piece of advice out there for the undergraduates, I fully recommend using your career services offices at your college.
Absolutely.
Because I know I was in there my senior year, I was in there every couple weeks to touch base on my resume, to try to ask them to help me out with internships and how to look for that. So I definitely recommend using that.
What school did you graduate from?
I graduated from the State University of New York College at Cortland.
Oh, at Cortland. Okay. I was online with the SUNY directors. We have regular meetings every month. And Cortland is the directors of career development. And Cortland is one of the schools that participates in the meetings. And it's very interesting to see what's happening in the upstate colleges.
Of course.
Yes. Yes. They're losing funding like crazy. And the students are coming back. A lot of students that go to school upstate are from Long Island and metro area.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of them decided not to go back this semester, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And that's also been huge, too, because I know with Oneonta, one of our rivals, they sent all these kids back. And then shortly after, you know, they say, all right, we're going to take things online because of an outbreak. And it's too late because these kids are already up there. So now it's online and they're just going to be partying every day. So it's just going to spread like a wildfire.
Yeah. Well, you know, the director of career development, her name is Melissa. She said that the students call Oneonta coronavirus. Coronionta. It's too bad. You know, it's just horrible.
Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to get into the new world for not just people that are the undergraduates looking to get a job out of school and now the graduates, how hard it is for them, but it's an also new world for employers.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, when this first started, or not when it first started, but when we were allowed to know about it around March, we were having phone calls and emails from employers all over the place. Mm-hmm. We don't know what to do, you know, we don't know what to do. Can you guide us, you know, and stuff, because it is a new world for them too.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to emphasize to students that when they're in an interview, it may not go as smoothly as they would like, not because of them, but because maybe the interviewer doesn't know how to handle this type of interview.
Mm.
So they need to keep that in mind, you know, that it's new for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're in the middle of doing a survey, the SUNY career directors. We put together a survey. Actually, we did it at Farmingdale because we want to survey our employers. But we're now going to do it throughout SUNY. And we have a series of questions that we're going to propose to them.
Mm.
For example, how has your hiring process changed? Are you hiring as many people? Have you cut back? What are you looking for in a candidate?
Mm.
What are the interviews like? There's about 10 questions. And so we're going to be sending them out to the surveys online to all the employers throughout the state. And we're most interested in our, you know, employers in metro area.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be really interesting to see what the feedback is from all around the state. And then I think we probably will show it to the governor.
I just thought you might want to hear from me, too. I've been supporting Kenny morally throughout the whole show, but he's done a fantastic job, hasn't he? And what I want to ask you is I have a pet peeve, Dolores, about resumes, and I wondered if it bothers you, too. There are many candidates today don't put their address on the resume.
Oh, I know.
And I understand when it's coming from somebody overseas, because they kind of want to trick you into thinking they're in the States. But in the case of the applicant tracking systems that I have to upload my resumes to, so if I have a candidate that I like, and the candidate then has to get uploaded into the applicant tracking system mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. that particular company using that particular company's system.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things they ask for is the address.
That's right.
So that means I have to go back to the candidate. I'm in the middle of uploading the resume. I have to go back to the candidate and say, I got to call the candidate on the phone or text them or do something while I got the screen up there. And I'm going, listen, I don't have your street address. I need your zip code. I need this. I need that. And why do people stop putting this on the resume? It was on the resume for a million years and now suddenly it's stopped. In some cases, I understand it.
I know.
You know, they don't want the street address. They don't want to be contacted.
Right.
I get the privacy thing, but I also don't know of anybody that's ever been slammed for actually putting an address on a resume. So what do you tell your students to do? How do you tell your students to handle that?
Well, we want them to put the address on for another reason, and that is it's depending on where the company is. Maybe they really want to hire people that are nearby. Maybe they don't want to hire somebody who's have to travel an hour and a half from the city to get there. You know, so it would make sense to put, you know, the address on there. But you can't stop them from just leaving it off.
Well,
I think it all has to do with the privacy issue, you know.
I don't know. It's very destructive. If the student knew that the recruiter had to go back to the student.
Yes.
And then get this information, I'm sure they would put the address on there. I just wanted to ask, thank goodness you're telling the students to put the resume on to the best of your ability.
We do. And I tell you, I would say 90% of the students put their address on.
Okay.
Only once in a while you'll see it without the address.
The other question I had for you is you were talking with Kenny about cover letters. What seems to happen in the staffing process, Dolores, is the cover letter gets separated from the resume.
Right.
So what I instruct people to do is put a summary at the top of their resume that pulls together all the great pieces of their background,
right.
experience, education,
exactly.
coursework,
exactly.
whatever, and it's right. sort of an opening salvo that has
that's
the guts of what would be in the cover letter on it.
Absolutely. Well, only a couple things that would be different in there, but we always advise, and this is in our own templates that are in our heads, that top of the resume should have an objective. We think they don't always want to put it on, but it makes sense. And then a category called summary with 7 or 8 items that you want the employer to read before they go into the resume. You know, like if you have a particular skill, if you, you know, all things, stuff like that. Now, the cover letter can tell, like, they can speak in the first person, which they can't do on a resume, but they can tell something special about themselves, you know, that they maybe wouldn't be as appropriate in a resume.
Right.
Like, for example, I'll give you an example. I did a resume for a woman, nursing student who was applying for a job, and she really couldn't say this in the resume, but in the cover letter, she said, I have 4 children, and I'm very familiar with your hospital because all my kids have broken limbs, and I have taken them to the hospital, to your hospital. Mm. And I've always been satisfied with the health care provided there. Mm. See, now, it's not something you would really say in a resume.
Right.
But
right.
It worked beautifully in a cover letter.
All right. Unfortunately, Dolores, we're out of time. That was the fastest half hour, even faster than the first half hour with Neil. You did a fantastic job. Kenny, I want to congratulate you and compliment you on doing a fabulous job. That was your maiden voyage. As I hope. Was he great or what? All right. How about a round of applause for Kenny?
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for inviting me.
All right. Great to see you again, Dolores. If you have an idea for Radio Jobline, you can write to me, scottp118@gmail.com. I'll be happy to have you on the radio program. And I just want to once again say that was not easy what you just saw Kenny do, guys. He just hosted a whole show on his own. Way to go, Kenny. We'll be back next week with another show. Happy hunting, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.